The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Joining me for this week's Friday Forum, Alan Farrell, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Fingal, Jack Horgan-Jones, political correspondent with the Irish Times, and Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD, also for Dublin Fingal, and spokesperson on enterprise and workers' rights. Good morning and welcome one and all. I want to talk to you all about your own reaction to what we saw on the streets of Dublin yesterday, the protest and the counter-protest, bringing the city to a standstill right up to and including rush hour. Alan?
Very disappointing scenes. I mean, people have the right to protest. However, disobeying the instructions of An Garda Síochána, intimidating other people is not permitted. And that's, I think, why I believe 19 people were arrested. The right to protest is enshrined in our constitution. The right to peaceful protest is absolutely permitted. But I think that people should be very careful about when they do it. Because obviously disrupting people at rush hour and when they're trying to go about their daily lives is just not acceptable. More so, failing to adhere to the instructions of An Garda Síochána and intimidating other people in that manner is completely unacceptable.
Louise?
Well, I saw them at the Dáil yesterday, but my husband was on O'Connell Street yesterday evening. And he said that the protesters were getting an incredibly angry reception from passers-by, that people do not support that. And I'll say this, right, because people would say, well, that would happen anyway if you're disrupting them. That's not necessarily the case. I have been down O'Connell Street at busy times with protests for home helps, as an example. And we had people stopping their cars, getting out and saying, fair play to you, I don't mind being delayed because I can see you are out here for a good reason. But people were being very openly hostile to them. And I think, you know, we saw the calibre and the type of these people when they travelled up the north, and they were quite happy to stand with loyalist gangs. So I think people are seeing through them. They see them for who they are. But certainly my husband, I wasn't on O'Connell Street yesterday evening. My husband was, and he said that people were being openly hostile to them. But it does bring us back to the question, and we keep having to come back to the question about resourcing An Garda Síochána, because back in November, in the immediate aftermath of the riots, the Garda representative associations were out very, very strong in terms of how exposed An Garda Síochána were, how they felt that they hadn't been supported. They need additional equipment, they need additional personnel. And unfortunately, in the intervening time,
it seems like there was a plan, though, yesterday, because the Public Order Unit were called in, and it appears that relatively quickly they managed to move the protesters off O'Connell Bridge, up O'Connell Street, and then I don't know what happened.
And that
for
was
it to be dissipated.
It was well handled. And I think, you know, what we saw in November, we saw guards left very, very badly exposed. And what they looked for then was resources and additional personnel. What they got was a €10 million stick and plaster for overtime. That ran out. So there is a need to accelerate recruitment, into An Garda Síochána, but also to ensure that they have the equipment as well that they need to not just police and keep us safe, but also to keep themselves safe.
Jack,
I think what's most interesting about the protest yesterday is the fact that it's a kind of second order story. It's not on the front pages. It didn't lead the bulletins. It wasn't a mass protest. I was talking to Conor Lally, our crime and security editor, who was walking past it and took some video yesterday. He estimated there was about 400 anti-migrant protesters and 150 counter-protesters. Now, that's not a groundswell.
But what happened over the last few days, because I would pass by the top of Merrion Street every day, and Merrion Street is blocked off.
It is because they have and this is a subjective analysis. I'm not a policing analyst, but like going into work in Leinster House, it does seem that there's a properly resourced, organised Garda presence there. You know, you walk down Kildare Street, you can see five or six public order units. The Ring of Steel is there. The dogs are there in the vans and everything like that. So it is there. But I think that there's something else at work here, and I think that there is perhaps a little less focus on the immigration issue, or it's less mobilizing than it was during the spring. I mean, this is not Coolock. This is not the riots of last November in Dublin. And I think there's a reason for that. And I think when you drill into it a little bit, I draw people's attention to the poll that we have in the Irish Times today. I know we're going to talk about it later. But if you look at the order of concern that people attach to different issues, 12% immigration. Now, I haven't seen it that low in a very long time. For a year, 18 months more, immigration and housing have traded places at the top of people's list of concerns, but it seems to be dropping down a little bit. Now, look, that may be fleeting. It may go roaring back up. There may be a terrible event
but
like
you,
the stabbing.
Do you think
in Pernell
it's a combination of all the sort of small actions, like with the promise of Thornton Hall, the getting rid of the tents outside the asylum seeker centre in Mount Street, small actions that kind of amount to, well, the government at last is doing something, interrogating people when they're getting off planes.
I think there's something to that. I think the playbook that the government is following here is along the lines that they did in Denmark, where they put a big emphasis on irregular migration. And, you know, I think there are still gaping holes in how the immigration system operates here, how quickly it turns applications around, and how well resourced it is. That's not something that you necessarily fix overnight. But I do think the shift in emphasis, the shift in rhetoric, and the kind of movement of the entire political system, to a more concerned stance on immigration, may have kind of mollified some of the wider concerns. Some of them. I'm not saying it's not a thing. I'm not saying it's not going to be an election thing. But like, look at the polling numbers. It's not as much of a thing as it was. Now, could come back, of course.
You were talking about Leinster House and on Merrion Street particularly. You couldn't get down to the National Gallery, for example, if you wanted to drive down there and park your car. You were blocked. Is it appropriate that they should be actually locking off the Merrion Hotel for the tourists and so on, that they can't arrive by motor car with their trunks and bags and baggage, you know?
Well, it is a policing response, so it is a matter for an Garda Síochána to determine what is appropriate. But if you cast your mind back to 12 months ago on the first day of the resumption of Dáil Éireann after the summer vacation, and you'll recall very difficult scenes where members were harassed, where staff were harassed. And really, that isn't acceptable in any set of circumstances, but more so in the context of Oireachtas members. We're not special, but we're elected by the people. And we also have a constitutional provision that we should be allowed to access and egress Parliament. And that applies to both Louise and I and all other members equally. So An Garda Síochána take that very seriously. And after some protests in 2019, where members were trapped for 6 or 7 hours, I was one of them, it was determined that, you know, you could no longer have the general public outside the gate at particular moments in time because of that security concern, because of the important business that goes on in Leinster House, because of votes, and because members have the right to cast their vote in that chamber on behalf of the people who elect them.
So if it means that quote-unquote ring of steel, so be it, Louise?
Well, it's up to An Garda Síochána to decide how they police the environs of Leinster House. But I think we were all shocked when we saw a gallows, a makeshift gallows, effectively pushed to the front of Leinster House. And I can tell you there were people, and I wouldn't take away from communities, concerns that people have, but there were plenty of people who looked at that and they just thought that is absolutely... Yeah.
But weren't they just taking a page out of the Trump Mike Pence playbook on January the 6th with that kind of display? You know.
Well, I mean, that kind of display does absolutely nothing except people find it incredibly off-putting. It was deeply disturbing to see that, to see the image of my own party leader and others. But I think also, you know, that at that protest, if you remember, we talk a lot about the gallows. The reason we talk about the gallows is because there wasn't many people there. There was a very small group. And Jack is right. We're talking about, you know, past tens of people, hundreds of people. We're not talking about thousands. And we're seeing the numbers drop off all of the time. And I think people look, they see... they look online and they see photographs of these people waving Irish flags alongside loyalist gang members waving Union Jacks, and they just think, no, that's not, that is not something that people want to support.
Okay, now the Gardaí, they had a great coup during the week when they participated in that multinational drug bust. So they're doing that and they're doing it effectively. And how many people do they dedicate to that kind of work? Then we're told that it's... a win-win for the e-scooter drug peddlers this morning in the front of the Examiner. You know, the Gardaí have been asked to do so much. They can't chase the guys on scooters because they don't have scooters to chase them with. Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous in any event to indulge in hot pursuit in case the poor lamb falls off his scooter with his drug stash and whatever and hurts himself. And the guards get blamed.
And it can also be dangerous for An Garda Síochána to engage in pursuits. And, you know, I think what we need to do is we need to listen very carefully to what the Garda Representative Associations are saying, because they are vocalising the view of the ordinary Garda on the beat. Now, if you talk to people, say I talk to people in my own area, I'll be heading from here to my office in Balbriggan. Some of the issues that come up are issues around antisocial behaviour, issues around people not feeling safe in their own homes. And what they will tell you is a visible Garda presence. There is no substitute for a visible Garda presence. That is what people, when they come into my constituency offices, be it in Balbriggan or into Swords or any of my clinics, that is what they say. They want to see the guards. And in order for them to be able to see the guards, we need to have more Gardaí. That's just a simple fact.
Now, Jack, the Irish Times poll, a second day of revelations, shall we say. Let's go back to day one, though, because it's relevant to both Alan and to Louise. The direction of travel of the polls. I mean, it almost coincides directly with Simon Harris's elevation to the leadership of his party and Taoiseach, the kind of precipitate climb in the ratings of Fine Gael. But if you look at the Sinn Féin ratings in every poll, not just in the Irish Times poll, it's almost inexorably downwards from a year ago.
Yeah, so there's two trends that are now kind of baked in. One is there for a longer time, and that is the Sinn Féin decline in headline polling numbers, and we saw that continue in our poll of this week. So down 4 points to 20%. And when you drill into some of the kind of localized numbers, I think it's equally interesting to see Sinn Féin in Dublin on 13%. Now, small sample size in localities, you know, that number can move up and down a little bit. But like, if Sinn Féin are on 13% in Dublin, that's a big problem, I think, for them. And then the other more recent trend that we've seen, as you say, is the surge in support for Fine Gael, now up to 27% in our recent poll. And the thing that really caught my eye, because I was expecting Sinn Féin to go up and Fine Gael to go down, I was not expecting Simon Harris's approval ratings to go up quite so much. He was up 17 points. To 55. Now that is the second largest
leap
that we've ever seen. Sorry, maybe not that we've ever seen, but certainly since 2016, which is all the numbers I looked at yesterday. The only larger one was Leo Varadkar in March of 2020. So it was a COVID. It was a rally to the flag thing. Yeah. It was froth. So that's really interesting. It's also not the first poll that we've done since he was elected leader. We had one in May, so people had a few weeks. So it does suggest, certainly on the evidence of this polling, it suggests that the more people see Harris, the more they like what they see, at least for now. And that, I think, lends further credence. I know Alan won't want to talk about this, but lends further credence to the suggestion that, you know, he should go now. And just one other, maybe you do.
Why would I not want to talk about that?
Well, maybe, do you think they should? Do you think they should go in November?
Now, I remarked to Pat Leahy, the political editor of the Irish Times yesterday, that looking at those graphs, the long graphs from 2016 to the present day, it's like looking at a profile of the Alps. You know, up, down, all the peaks. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's nothing guaranteed.
There's nothing
you're
guaranteed.
Up doesn't mean you'll be up for long.
Absolutely. And this is one of the core things to remember when we talk about tracking polls, because about half the electorate don't make up their minds until 2 weeks out from the election. There is a reset that happens when an election is called. And we saw this in 2020. We saw Sinn Féin have bad local and European election results. I can't remember what their polling numbers were, but they certainly weren't anything compared to what the first preference vote was on polling day. And when the election was called, people forgot about Brexit and they started caring about pensions and housing. And they were mobilised by little things, I think, like the RIC commemoration. And there was just this surge in momentum towards Sinn Féin. So look, that may happen again. These are inherently dynamic things that we're talking about. So the one other polling point that's a little bit nerdy that I want to make, but Harris's bump of 17 points is very similar to Varadkar's bump, not of the COVID one, but of October 2019. When he secured the Wirral Brexit deal with Boris Johnson, and everyone said in retrospect and some of the time that he should have gone to the country then. And isn't it interesting that however many years later, 5 years later, we have a very similar set of circumstances, very similar time of the
year. Louise, your thoughts on, it's not just this poll, it's the general direction of travel of Sinn Féin in all the polls that we've seen, whether it's Red Sea or Ipsos or whatever it might be. So you must be scratching your heads.
Well, what we've done is we have undertaken a review post the local and European elections. On foot of that, we have launched a series of policies because, you know, it's important to us to listen to our members, to our supporters, to our voters and to the people in our communities. And they want to hear from, they want to hear what our plans are. So we have listened. We have published the most comprehensive housing plan that any party in opposition has ever undertaken. It has been very positively received by industry experts and indeed by groups representing and working in the homeless area. We've also published policies in relation to mental health, a very, very groundbreaking policy in relation to childcare. So we are responding to what people are saying. They want to hear from us. They want us to... They want us to set out our stall. Well, I would disagree with you in that regard, Alan, because, you know, it's the hallmark of Sinn Féin, and it's not really there with other parties. But regardless of whether there's an election on the cards or on the horizon, we canvass all of the time. We're out all of the time. We are very active in our communities. We hold a lot of advice clinics. Our offices are open. People come and they talk to us. So I can tell you what people want to hear.
Every party
they want
can
to hear
say
our
plans. I've been doing that
plans.
For 20 years. I mean, a lot of people I know in my party are doing that. I'm sure there's members from other parties are doing that. But the bottom line is, and we're talking about a poll here, we're talking about the Alpine Vista that Pat painted from Pat Leahy's remarks. And the truth of it is that there's a trend present. That trend is positive for the government parties who have now surpassed 50% for the first time, I understand. We, Fine Gael, are now riding high at a level we haven't been at in quite a number
of
years.
What surprised me is the Greens went up one.
And I think in general, you know, can we correlate it and associate it with the elevation of Simon Harris to Taoiseach? I think we can.
I have to go back to Louise on that. I mean, if the solution to reinvigorating the message and the party is changing the leader to a younger model, is your name in the hat?
There is absolutely no question of that, Pat. You know, our party leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, you know, is incredibly popular, not just with our own membership, but also more broadly. And, you know, she is, I believe, the right woman to lead us definitely into the next and subsequent elections. And the reason for that is very simple.
Her personal approval ratings are dropping as well, though.
And indeed, we will see, as we have seen with the polls that you alluded yourself to, you know, you're up one day, you're down the next. But when it comes to a general election, when it comes to a general election, we have in the past confounded the polls. Once. And the likelihood is, I believe, that we will do that again. But listen, we have to hear what the electorate are saying. So following the European and local elections, we instigated a review. We talked to our own membership. We talked to through our own party structures. We listened to what people were saying. They want to hear solutions from us. And we have been doing that work.
And we will believe that work will pay dividends
when the election is
doing
called.
All this messaging. And hopefully, for your sake, that it's heard and responded to. Jack, the question of that election date. Even Ivan has changed his mind. He's now predicting February. The Valentine's Day massacre is what he's predicting, rather than a November election. What plays into all of this? Because you might look at a poll and say, let's go now. But then you've got half your parliamentary party not seeking re-election. So you've got to, I know Sinn Féin the last time out, and I mentioned this before, if you can tell me the name of your TD who actually was on holiday during the election because she didn't expect to get voted in.
I think the...
It was branding, do you know what I mean?
No, there was undoubtedly a swing of support towards the party, but you wouldn't take away from someone, you know, decades of community activism and indeed, you know, serving her own community.
To get in, that's the point.
The polls in the run-up to that election wouldn't have suggested that, but as Jack pointed out, and he's right, an election takes on a momentum of its own.
So Jack, I want to go back to you about how important it is for Simon Harris, for example, to get his candidates known, and therefore he's buying time to February, maybe. Maybe that's at the heart of this.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, that's definitely one of the arguments in favour of waiting. And then if you're in the government's shoes, you know, it's more time to kind of do stuff and get more legislation chalked off and do a bit of manifesto padding. I still think that's an infinitely less persuasive case than going now, just because events happen. you know, yeah. Dáil bike shed, rogue waves, stuff can really damage government popularity. We all know what the winter tends to do to government popularity as well. And also there's another thing about Simon Harris, which is that like he's been a lucky general so far. Like he's done well with the stuff that's been thrown at him, but he hasn't had a big crisis to handle. So, you know, the longer you go on, a big crisis will come along and you will have to confront it, and that will test.
So you're still betting November?
I think that November is most likely still. I think that an objective analysis
of
the inputs...
Are you pressing your leader to go November?
No, two very quick things. Firstly, I remember the conversation in November 2015, and I remember the conversation in the latter part of 2019 in relation to where we were in the polls and why we should go. Now, hindsight would suggest that we should have done. I'm not the Taoiseach. I'm not in a position to make those decisions. And of course, that's a constitutional provision. The Taoiseach and the Taoiseach alone makes the decision. Of course, there's a political dynamic to it in a coalition, but it's still the Taoiseach's decision. But what I would say is, in regards to the new candidates that we have, I'm the chairman of my parliamentary party. We held our first think-in, my first think-in, where I chaired it. And the enthusiasm, and it's not a cliche, the enthusiasm at that think-in in Tullamore last
week. It will be a question of knocking on the door. Who are you?
Yeah, but we have exceptional talent coming through the ranks within Fine Gael and that are commanding the support of the membership in their constituencies and the support of outgoing members right across the board to put their best foot forward on behalf of Fine Gael. And of course, Pat, it would be very beneficial for us to have until February for those new candidates.
The contribute to the problem of who are you.
But using the same narrative that you just discussed, that you might... About the importance of the recognition of the work that has been done.
Okay.
If one in three rural voters recognise that Fine Gael are doing a good job in government, if 27% nationally recognise,
I just wanted to make the point that like if politics is increasingly presidential, notwithstanding the fact that you know it is extremely local in this country and fought at constituency level, then if you have someone who is so buoyant in the polls, you know, maybe some of that rubs off on unknown candidates as well.
But it's possible. Also
part of that was the case with Mary Lou in 2020
as well. Any party leader that is looking at losing half of their sitting elected representatives, I think, you know, would want to have a good, long, hard look and ask those people, why is it? That because a lot of these are very old.
I agree. It's a secular problem.
Do I infer from your remarks that you'd like February rather than November?
It's a matter of the matter for the Taoiseach, but I would prefer the sooner the better. We are ready to fight the election. So if it's going to be in November, then I think the Taoiseach should come out and let us know. We call the election. We are ready to fight the election. I think the longer this government remains in place, the more people are going to feel the negative impacts from it, the more they're going to be hit by the cost of living crisis.
What we need to see is the election, the budget is determined by a schedule within the Oroctus, and that schedule would not allow
last words
for
to you, Jack.
They can change that finance bill, the drop of a hash. Come on,
they can.
Just on the cost of living, right? We haven't mentioned it yet, but Louise mentioned it there. Surging back up people's concerns. 32% of people saying it is their chief concern ahead of the budget.
Lots of detail in the Irish Times today.
That's why we launched our childcare plan, €10 per day per child, because it's like a second mortgage for a lot of people.
Okay.
And housing as well, that's huge. That's again why we have launched the
We will all leave
policy.
It there. Alan Farrell, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Fine Gael. Also from Dublin Fine Gael, Louise O'Reilly of Sinn Féin, spokesperson on enterprise and workers' rights, and Alan Horgan-Jones, political correspondent with the Irish Times. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the News Talk app, powered by Gola. Just search for
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.